We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 9, entitled Dhruva Maharaj Returns Home, text number 66. Translation. When, after concentration, King Uttanapad saw that Dhruva Maharaj was suitably mature to take charge of the kingdom, and that his ministers were agreeable, and the citizens were also very fond of him, he enthroned Dhruva as emperor of this planet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Although it is misconceived that formerly the monarchical government was autocratic, from the description of this verse, it appears that not only was King Uttanapad a Rajarshi, but before installing his beloved son Dhruva on the throne of the empire of the world, he consulted his ministerial officers, considered the opinion of the public, and also personally examined Dhruva's character. Then the king installed him on the throne to take charge of the affairs of the world. When a Vaishnava king like Dhruva Maharaj is the head of the government of the entire world, the world is so happy that it is not possible to imagine or describe. Even now, if people would all become Krishna conscious, the democratic government of the present day would be exactly like the kingdom of heaven. If all people became Krishna conscious, they would vote for persons of the category of Dhruva Maharaj. If the post of chief executive were occupied by such a Vaishnava, all the problems of satanic government would be solved. The youthful generation of the present day is very enthusiastic in trying to overthrow the government in different parts of the world. But unless people are Krishna conscious like Dhruva Maharaj, there will be no appreciable changes in government, because people who hanker to attain political position by hook or by crook cannot think of the welfare of the people. They are only busy to keep their position of prestige and monetary gain. They have very little time to think of the welfare of the citizens. Translation again. When after concentration, King Uttanapad saw that Dhruva Maharaj was suitably mature to take charge of the kingdom, and that his ministers were agreeable, and the citizens also were very fond of him, he enthroned Dhruva as emperor of the world. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitanyena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So we're hearing a description of the period after Dhruva Maharaj has completed his austerities. As a young child, he had the vision, he had darshan of the Supreme Lord, and then he came back to his home to live with his father. And in the verse today, it is described that Maharaj Uttanapad, the father of Dhruva, is ready to enthrone Dhruva with the responsibilities of the world to become the emperor, to put him in a position of supreme authority. This position, of course, that it's pointed out that Maharaj Uttanapada does not just base it on the fact that he's his son and he wants him to be in charge. But Maharaj Uttanapada consulted with his Brahminical council or his different ministers who were guiding them. Because while the king was ruling and had an autocratic position, he was the authority, but he did not consider himself to be independent. he needed the cooperation of his ministers, and he made sure that his ministers all approved of his action. So this is the Vedic system, that someone may be in charge, but they are not independently supreme. They cannot act independent of the will of everyone else. They have to consult with the other people, just like Maharaj Uttanapada consults with his ministers, not only with the ministers, but he also saw that Dhruva Maharaj was loved and respected by the citizens. So this is very important. If somebody is going to be in this position, like the king ruling so many other people, such an authoritative position, they have to have the support of everyone else. It's very important that they have support of everyone. And then, working together, they can be successful. Prabhupada sometimes narrated the story from Aesop's Fables, that the father was showing his son. He took one piece of wood, he broke it in two. Then he took another piece of wood, he broke it in two. Then he took several pieces of wood together, but he could not break them. So then he asked his son, "Do you understand?" He was explaining to his sons that if you will all cooperate together, you will be very strong. You will be united and you will be able to do wonderful things. But if you all act independently and cannot cooperate with each other, then it will simply create so much trouble. So Prabhupada, before he left this world, Prabhupada said that your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate with each other when I am gone. So this principle is seen in all civilized societies, that if you want the country, if you want civilization to advance, there has to be this cooperation. There has to be suitably qualified leaders who are loved and respected, and people cooperate with them. You see, it's not enough that you just simply love someone. Just like the mother may love her child, and they put the child in the position, and you love them. But they have to be also suitably qualified. They have to be able to act in the proper way. So Dhruva Maharaj proved, he had already proved himself as being very austere, renounced, determined. He had qualities befitting the Kshatriya, right? In Bhagavad Gita, qualities of the Kshatriya are described just as the qualities of the Brahmana are described. The Kshatriya has to be so bold, he has to have so much courage, he has to be, he has to have Ishwara Bhav, the ability to take control of others and to lead them. He has to be charitable. He has to be able to give protection to others. So Dhruva Maharaj was recognized not only by his father, but by the ministers and by the citizens, that they all loved him and respected him. Therefore, he was able to take over his father's position. Taking over such a responsibility, this, of course, it is not easy to take over such a position. And if you don't have cooperation from the people under you, then it's certainly going to be very difficult. Prabhupada points out in the rest of the purport how young people often want to campaign and change the government. You know, sometimes you see this, there will be a student uprising, you know, they want to turn everything over, they're not satisfied with the government, and they make some protest. I was in China in 1989 when there was a student uprising in in the capital city of China, Beijing, in Tiananmen Square. And for several days, the students had occupied the central square. And they were campaigning, they wanted a change in government. But Prabhupada points out that such students are not qualified to improve the situation. They may be correct that there are problems with the situation, but they themselves are not capable of improving the situation. That they themselves are also servants of their own senses. So we often find this in the material world, that people criticize others, but they themselves are not able to improve things. They're not qualified to actually do any better themselves. So it does not make any improvement in the world. If they themselves, they criticize someone for being a sense gratifier, but if they themselves have not got control of their senses, then how can they improve things? If they themselves are servants of the senses, then it's not going to improve. So simply making a revolution for the sake of revolution is not encouraged. The leaders of the state have to be properly qualified. Just as Dhruva Maharaj's father was qualified as a Rajarshi, similarly also Dhruva Maharaj was qualified. We see examples of this throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. I mentioned it yesterday that Maharaj Parikshit was such a suitably qualified person that he could rule the world. And we read in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam of how he ruled the world. He did not just simply sit at home in his palace, but he would go out over his kingdom to see that people were properly following religious principles. And when Maharaj Parikshit came upon a cow in a lamentable condition, then he found the culprit and he punished that person also. Maharaj Parikshit was horrified to think that a pious animal like the cow and the bull could be mistreated within his kingdom. And he immediately took action against the culprit. So this is the duty of heads of state, you see, not just simply to sit in an office and pass legislation, but actually to go out and see, and to teach also by their own example, by their own adherence to the principles of religion. It is commonly said that example speaks louder than words. That if you simply give instruction to people, but if we do not set the proper example ourselves, such teaching will not be effective. Sometimes you see teachers telling students, don't smoke, it's very bad for your health. But the teachers also smoking, right? Commonly, you see the teachers in their staff room just open the doors and the waves of smoke come out of the room. But the same teachers are saying, don't smoke, this is very bad. So that kind of teaching is useless. In the same way, in government affairs, in any situation where we have organized system, there must be proper examples shown. All of us have that responsibility. We are all representatives of Srila Prabhupada's army. We are all representing the Krishna consciousness movement. If people know that we're devotees, that we come to the Krishna conscious temple, and if we behave in a wrong way, then it is a very bad example. So it's very important for all of us as devotees, as members of the Krishna consciousness movement, that we show the right example as representatives of Srila Prabhupada. These examples come in every aspect of our life. In our family life, the home should be peaceful and pious and religious. It should be kept clean. There should be chanting of the holy names. People should hear the kirtan coming from your home. Huh? They should hear the bells ringing as you offer the foodstuffs. Like this. Not that we just simply, oh, we only do these things in the temple. You know, we should, it's the duty that at home also, the home is also the temple. In our job, if you're working, people know that you go to Hare Krishna, you're a devotee, then we have to also show the proper qualification of devotee by being honest, hardworking, by being serious in our endeavors, performing them nicely to the best of our ability. Like this, people should understand, just like we have one devotee in Malaysia, one country where I visit, there's one devotee there. He was working in one company, and on one occasion, his company was actually owned by the chief minister of that place. And on one occasion, that chief minister came to our temple and gave a talk. And he said that one of my employees is one of the members here in this temple, and I know that he is very honest and hardworking. So like that, you know, this is how a devotee should be respected. That as devotees, you know, people should understand Hare Krishna devotee means they are good quality. They are good people. You can trust them. They are reliable. They're not going to cheat you. Right? This should be the nature of a devotee. Devotee, Vaishnava, has all good qualities. So we have this responsibility that we're representing Srila Prabhupada. We shouldn't think, oh, the responsibility is only on the leader. Just like we sometimes think it's only the responsibility of the king, or it's only the responsibility of the government. But we're all representing Srila Prabhupada, we're all representing the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We have to portray the ideal lifestyle. Otherwise, our preaching will not be effective. If people simply see Hare Krishna devotees are always lazy and dirty and in an unclean condition, it does not give a good impression. People should know. Hare Krishna people, they are like this. People should be able to respect the devotees from the Krishna Consciousness Movement. It is up to us if they respect the Krishna Consciousness Movement or not. By how we behave, by how we live, by our appearance, by our lifestyle, it reflects the things we learn, the things we are practicing here in the temple. So this is how we have to think. Not that we just leave everything for others to do. What we call it passing the buck. We say, well, I'm not responsible, I'm not an important person, I'm not a big devotee or anything. Yeah, that is humble, but at the same time, still we all have responsibility as being members of the Krishna Consciousness Movement. We wear the dress of devotees, we may put the tilak, we may carry the bead bag, and just the fact that we come to the temple, it relates, it ties us in with the Krishna Consciousness family. And as members of the Krishna Consciousness family, we have to show the right example. Srila Prabhupada was very ideal in his behavior. Everyone loved him, respected him. The Goswamis of Vrindavan were living in Vrindavan as Babaji's. They were sleeping under a different tree every night. They wore only loincloths. And they lived by begging whatever simple food, madhukari, from the residents of Vrindavan. But everyone loved them. Wherever they would go, they would beg them to please stay in their village. This is the nature of the devotee, the pure devotee, the Vaishnava, one who is imbibing properly the Krishna consciousness attitude. It said, Dira Dira Janapriyo Priyakaro Niratsuro Pujito, that the Goswamis of Vrindavan were loved by everyone, even the gentle and the ruffians. Even those people who were like dacoits or rough in their behavior, they also respected the devotees. So we have to try to imbibe this mood, these qualities of devotee. Prabhupada said, it is not easy thing to be a Vaishnava. We are trying to learn. We are trying to develop the quality of devotee. It is not such an easy thing. So today is also the day of Shivaratri, a day in which Lord Shiva is honored. The devotees of Lord Shiva, they observe fasting on this day. Vaishnavas, we are not required to fast on this day. Lord Shiva is a great... We respect Lord Shiva. He is almost on the level of Lord Vishnu. The relationship between Lord Shiva and Vishnu is like that between yogurt and milk. That milk can be made into yogurt, but yogurt does not become milk. So Lord Vishnu becomes Shiva, but Lord Shiva does not become Vishnu. Lord Shiva is almost God, Prabhupada would say. He is almost God. We mentioned how Lord Krishna, Rupa Goswami has explained, Lord Krishna has 64 transcendental qualities. Of these 64 transcendental qualities, in his most perfect condition, a living entity such as Lord Brahma may possess up to 50 of these qualities. However, Lord Shiva is such an exalted personality that he can possess 55 of these qualities out of 64. So this is how close Lord Shiva comes to becoming God. That he's very near to God, very dear to God. It is said that Lord Shiva has been given a blessing by Lord Krishna. The blessing is that his devotees will be even more than the devotees of Lord Krishna. Why does Krishna want Lord Shiva to have more devotees than him? He wants that everyone should know the greatness of his devotees. That Krishna's devotees are so great that they have so many people worship them. So Lord Shiva is not only assisting the Lord in the purpose of annihilating the world, but Lord Shiva also helps in the creation of the universe. Sometimes people think Lord Shiva is only doing the destruction of the world, but he is also involved in creation and in maintenance. He is active in all three phases of time: creation, maintenance, and destruction. Of course, we all know how Lord Shiva does his dance at the time of the annihilation of the universe. But at the time of creation, Lord Shiva also assists. He carries the glands of the Lord, which impregnates the living entities at the time of the beginning of the creation. Lord Shiva has this responsibility. He carries the glance. It said Lord Vishnu glances over the material creation and impregnates the living entities to begin the universal creation. That glance of Lord Vishnu is carried by Lord Shiva. This is how he is active in creation. Lord Shiva is also active in maintenance, because Lord Shiva is sometimes called to annihilate different demons who are disturbing the universe. In this way, Lord Shiva is assisting in creation, maintenance, And of course, he does the work of destruction. So Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava. Vaishnava means he is paradukaduki. He is very unhappy to see the suffering of others. And he thinks how to benefit them. Vaishnava is always meant to think how to give benefit, to give some help, to benefit, to improve the condition of others. So Lord Shiva shows this compassion. As we know, he is in charge of the mode of ignorance. And he commonly is known to reside in the graveyard and cover his body with ashes and snakes. These are there for the purpose of attracting people of the mode of ignorance, that they will follow him and he can benefit them. His associates are generally people connected with the mode of ignorance, and such people are benefited by the association of Lord Shiva, that he can properly guide them and elevate them. We see the example of Banasura in Krishna Lila. Banasura had thousands of arms and he was very powerful. He would beat mountains to ashes, to powder, to dust, and he would look for fights. So Banasura, at one point, his daughter was involved with an affair with one of Lord Krishna's grandchildren. And Banasura had this grandson arrested and kept as a prisoner. So then Lord Krishna heard about this, and Lord Krishna came with his army. Now, Banasura had a benediction from Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva likes to dance. And Banasura had many arms, so he was very good in playing the drum. So Lord Shiva had given him a benediction that, "You played the drum so nicely, I will give you benediction." So he asked the benediction that, "You please stay and protect my city." So Lord Shiva was residing there to protect the city of his devotee Banasura. And at that time Lord Krishna came with his army. And so there was a big fight. And Lord Shiva fought against Lord Krishna. How is it possible that Lord Shiva is a Vaishnava and he will fight against Lord Krishna? You see? Lord Shiva says afterwards, he said, "That was my own madness. That was my own insanity, that I became so forgetful that I fought against my worshipable Lord." Of course, in the fight, Lord Shiva released his ultimate weapon, which made everything very hot, burned everything. But Lord Krishna released his ultimate weapon, which made everything very cold and froze everything. And ultimately, Lord Shiva was defeated by Lord Krishna. And Lord Krishna then cut off the arms, many of the arms of Banasura, and left them with two, and told him, "Now you stay with Lord Shiva and serve him." So like this, Lord Shiva did not kill Banasura, because Banasura was born in a family where there was some great devotee. So because he was connected to great devotee, Lord Krishna did not kill him. But he told him, "You simply stay with Lord Shiva and serve him." So for particular kind of people, Lord Shiva is good association. Lord Shiva has his own sampradaya, a Vaishnava sampradaya. Within that sampradaya, the prominent acharya is Vishnu Swami. It is a bona fide Vaishnava Sampradaya. Usually, however, people who worship Lord Shiva are atheists. They do not have any personal conception of God. Actually, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is described during the time of the Daksha Yajna, Daksha insulted Lord Shiva. And then this led to some cursing between the Brahmanas who were following Bhrigupati and the followers of Lord Shiva. The Brahmanas, who were all engaged in the service of Daksha, they put a curse against the followers of Lord Shiva, that these followers of Lord Shiva will all become atheists. And the followers of Shiva put curse on the Brahmanas who were assisting Daksha, that you Brahmanas will become practitioners of dull rituals with no meaning, no spiritual benefit. So Prabhupada relates that both these curses are in effect today. That in general, the followers of Lord Shiva are atheistic. They do not have any proper conception of God. Now, one time there was one incident Giri Rajswami describes. He was preaching to one man in Chennai who was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And Giri Raj was trying to make this man one of our life members. He could not convince him to be the life member. So he thought if he met Srila Prabhupada, maybe he could be convinced. So it was arranged that this man met Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was discussing with him. The man was saying that, what is wrong? Why cannot I have bhakti for Lord Shiva? He said, why does bhakti have to be for Krishna and for Vishnu? Why can we not have bhakti for Lord Shiva? So Prabhupada explained that usually when people worship Lord Shiva, they are worshipping for some material purpose. That their purpose is not simply for the pleasure of Lord Shiva, but it's for some material purpose. Prabhupada gave an example. He said, just like if someone goes into a liquor store, the purpose of going into the liquor store is usually to buy liquor, to drink liquor. We shouldn't think that they're not going to drink liquor if you see somebody going into the liquor store. In the same way, when people worship Lord Shiva, you can usually know that they've got some material desire, that they want something. They have some motive. And it's not pure bhakti. So in this way, Prabhupada satisfied this man. He explained to him the nature of worship of Lord Shiva. We as devotees offer all respect to Lord Shiva, not as the Supreme Lord, but as the representative, an empowered representative of the Lord. He is Guna Avatar, the empowered with the responsibility for the mode of ignorance, just like Vishnu and Shiva are Guna Avatars. Lord Shiva, a famous pastime in which we see the exalted quality of Lord Shiva, is during the churning of the milk ocean done by the devas and the demigods. At that time, due to the churning of the milk ocean, a poison was produced. And that poison could have created a lot of trouble throughout the universe. But Lord Shiva was requested to please drink the poison. And Lord Shiva appeared and he took that poison and drank it. It is said, since that time, his throat became blue, and he is known as Nilakant, due to drinking the poison from the churning of the milk ocean. However, this shows the compassionate nature of Lord Shiva, that he is willing to do things like this. for the benefit of others, to help others, to protect others. So this is the nature of Vaishnava, that they're kind and compassionate on the suffering of others and think how to help them and how to improve their situation. So today is Shivratri. We are offering our respects to Lord Shiva. Lord Chaitanya would visit also the temples of Lord Shiva and offer his respects. We can also offer our respects to Lord Shiva in his different forms. Especially Sanatana Goswami was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. And although Sanatana Goswami, you know, he's one of the Goswamis of Vrindavan, he had great love for Lord Shiva. And he lived in Chakrapith in Govardhan, where he worshipped also, where he performed some worship of Lord Shiva. We can worship Shiva, but we do not worship him as the Supreme Lord. We understand his relationship with the Lord. That is the point. We should not think, oh, it is all one. There's no difference. There is a difference. And Lord Shiva is the devotee of the Lord. Therefore, we offer respects to him as the Lord's devotee. Not just an ordinary devotee, but the greatest of all devotees. We say, Vaishnavam yatha shambhu, that he is the greatest of all Vaishnavas. Are there any questions or comments? Yes?
Maharaj, you are saying that followers should cooperate with the leader. Followers should cooperate with the leader.
Yes.
And then a civilized society can be formed. What is the duty of a leader if the followers are not cooperating with him? Should he leave them and resign, or should he go on extending himself till expecting them to cooperate?
Well, yeah, the people should, if somebody's in charge, we should accept that person's authority and follow it. This is important. Somebody has been given a position of responsibility, we should respect that and we should follow that. During Prabhupada's time, this was very much expected. If Prabhupada put somebody into a position of authority, gave them that authority, then he expected other devotees to respect that and to recognize that person's position and to work with him cooperatively. This is not, ISKCON is not really a democratic institution. You know, democracy, Prabhupada, demon crazy. Everybody's got equal rights, you know. Everybody can has their own say, you know. Everybody has a say in everything. That's not quite how ISKCON has been set up. Prabhupada selected people, he gave them positions, he expected us to work under these authorities. This is cooperation. Cooperation. This is in Kali Yuga, people don't like to cooperate. This is a problem. If you allow Kali Yuga to enter, then we won't cooperate. We simply fight and argue with each other. And so this creates all the problems. If you allow the age of Kali to enter into your midst, then our Krishna consciousness movement is influenced and the preaching is stopped and we just go on and fight with each other instead of concentrating on the preaching work. So it's very important that, you know, we put aside our own conditioning. What we think is right, what we think needs to be done and everything. And we just learn how to serve. You understand what I'm saying? You know, we don't have elections to pick who is going to be the GBCs and things like that. You know what? ISKCON doesn't work. It's not a democratic institution. You see, these positions, people are put in authority by other people. Like GBCs are there. How were they selected? Prabhupada selected them. Prabhupada personally nominated them. Who should be the original GBC? Now these positions, we shouldn't be worried about these things, you know. We shouldn't think that, you know, oh, in the spiritual world, you know, will there also be like that, you know. And, you know, these positions are, you know, they're just designations for the purpose of organizing our society. But in a spiritual sense, everybody is important. Krishna sees everything. Krishna doesn't just see who's doing the arti. He sees who's cleaning the temple also. So everybody is a servant of Krishna. We're all servants in that sense. But for the purpose of organization, somebody has to be in charge. Somebody has to be giving the instructions. But we shouldn't think that our position is any greater or any less just because we're in charge or because we're not in charge. We're all servants of Krishna and we're all here to serve Krishna. So it's important for everybody to cooperate together. Very important. And the more there's cooperation and respect for each other, then the more preaching expands and the more people are impressed and inspired and want to take up Krishna consciousness. So we have to remember Lord Chaitanya's teachings. Every day we are reciting Shikshastikam, offer all respects to others, and not expect any respect for ourselves. This kind of consciousness is very important to keep us in Krishna consciousness. We're not running a political party. You know, in political parties, there will always be fighting. Who's going to be the chairman? Who's in charge? And this is Krishna consciousness. You know, there has to be this cooperation to spread the Sankirtan movement. Another question? Any other questions? Okay. So then we will stop. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.